I'm guessing it's about 200 days till Christmas. Man, this was, did you notice this year it was like Easter and then 2 weeks later was Mother's Day? I'm amazed. You young bucks, you don't know how fast time goes. There'll be a day. There'll be a day where it's just birthday to birthday to birthday to birthday. Yeah, let's look at this. We know this first thing. All right, justification, me and Christ, what does that mean? Oh, thank you. Thank you, which means everything that Christ did for us on the cross, I am in Him. So as long as I stay in Him, I am declared righteous, right? Sanctification, big word for what? The working out of what Christ has done for me. So that is the Christ that's in me and how it comes out of me. And it's not enough to believe that He just died for us, but He rose again so that He could change us, right? So what motivates me from justification, from being in Christ, to sanctification from the Christ in me flowing out? Here's what I want you to see, and it's very clear in Scripture, and hopefully you'll get a better understanding of it today. It's absolutely love that motivates change. In fact, nothing motivates a person more than love. Look in our arts. I mean, look at, y'all know the story of Cyrano de Bergerac? Remember him? Probably not. He was a real ugly guy, but he wrote poetry to women for other people. Romeo and Juliet, I know you remember them. Yeah. How about Love Story? Yeah. Remember Love Story back in the day where that said, love means never having to say you're sorry? What a big lie that is. But man, that was Ally McGraw and somebody. I'm showing you my age. But anyway, songs are motivated by everything in the arts, poetry, everything is motivated by, because love is what motivates us to change. So I want to show you this. Let's look at Scripture because we love Scripture. Luke. It says, so when Jesus, by the way, Zacchaeus was a short little man and he had climbed up into a tree because he couldn't see Jesus because he wanted to see Jesus. Now watch this. When Jesus came by, again, love motivates change. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, Zacchaeus. And he said, quick, come down. Watch this. I must be a guest in your house today. Stop right there for a second. Those of us who feel like Jesus doesn't love us, He doesn't care, God doesn't really care about my life. Here this man who was a criminal, and I say a criminal in a governmental way. He stole from people, but he had legal right to do so. We could run with that all day. But the truth is he was a tax collector, and he was not a good person. He was a Jewish person who worked for the Roman government and would take money from the Jewish community. The Roman government could care less as long as they got their part, but he would get a little bit extra for himself, and the Roman government didn't care. So he was a hated man. And here he is, I'm sure in his mind, thinking that this guy named Jesus, I just want to see him. But when Jesus said, I'm coming to your house to have a meal today, that changed everything in his life. Do you get it? So he says, quick, come down. I got to be a guest in your home today. So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Why was he excited and joyful? Because Jesus accepted him. That's why love does really motivate change. So verse 7, but the people were displeased. Of course they were. Because he's gone to the guest of a notorious sinner. Do you understand that it doesn't matter the opinion of people concerning who Jesus is? Jesus is love, and He's going to love anybody that He desires, and it doesn't matter your opinion. Or mine, for that matter, because I have my opinion too. I just realized this week, this is off the subject of hair, we are living in a broken world, and I was just thinking about heaven, and you know, we always think about, man, streets of gold, how cool is that? Because, I mean, streets of gold, and I mean, if you read Scripture, heaven's going to be beautiful, and I'll get to see my daughter and all these other people that I know, and so that's always been a motivation. But I just realized this week, the truth is, I am looking more forward to heaven because there won't be sin there. And I'm talking about my own, I'm not talking about yours, although we tend to look at others more than we do ourselves. But I'm just telling you, how cool will that be to have the refreshing side of not having to deal with ugly? And what happens is, especially when you start walking the sanctification of the love that God has for us, there's always going to be people that are going to test that love. And so we have to stay on point with Jesus. We can't allow things outside of us to aggravate us so bad that we aren't motivated by love, but rather by either opinion or as far as hate is concerned. That was on the side there. So verse 8, watch this. So these people are mad. Of course, it is. Church people are mad. In verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. He hadn't done the sinner's prayer or nothing here. He had just experienced Jesus and the love that Jesus has for him. I'll give half of my wealth to the poor. See, I think I love God, but I don't think, I don't have any wealth. But if I did, I don't think I'd get half of it. I'll give them half of my bills. I'll give them all my bills. All right? I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, and he shouldn't have said if, he should have just said, and I have cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. So love motivated Zacchaeus to give. All kinds of training or teaching on giving today. And the truth is, it's all whacked out as far as I'm concerned. The only thing that motivates me to give is the love that Christ has for me. And don't get confused. I didn't say the love that I have for Christ. I do love him. I've said it a million times. I love him, but my love is not perfect and it fails. So I can't brag about my love for him, but again, I can shout from the rooftops how much he loves me. It's his love for me that motivates me to give. Out of obedience, sure, it's obedience, but it's obedience out of a love relationship. You will never obey him with your list. Let me just stay on point here. So, love motivated Zacchaeus to give. Remember the woman at the well? Remember the woman at the well that Jesus talked to? And he asked her if she was married, and she said, I'm not married. He says, you're right. You've been married five times. You're not married this time. And then he shared that whole story. And what did it motivate her to do? It motivated her to go tell folks. The demoniac at Gennesaret. Dude, that man was messed up. And, you know, God, he cast the demons out, and they went to the pigs and all that. We know that story. But if you read the end of the story, he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you just stay here. Be with your family. And the Bible says that he went and just told everybody, because love motivates us to tell. Our problem with telling others about Christ is we think it's about us and not him. Do you get what I'm saying? I can't tell you especially when I was younger in the Lord and didn't really have what I understand now, I didn't want to share the love of Christ with anybody because they would judge me because of my own personal life. Well, what do you mean this Jesus thing? I've seen you. Yes, yeah, you're right, man. I'm sorry. It's not about me. It's about him. He's greatness. I'm not. And I get that. So love motivated them to tell. Love motivated the blind. And remember the bent over lady and those that were swollen and the withered hand and the diseased and the paralyzed and the lame. This love motivated them to praise God, run, dance, and leap for joy as they followed Christ. That's what love does. You know, people are funny in churches. There's something in us that wants to get happy with Jesus, but we don't. We're worried and concerned about what other people will think. Listen, man, here's the truth. Anybody that Jesus touched was motivated and leaped and jumped for joy. There's something powerful in that. So I say all that to share this next story with you, because not only does love motivate us in those individual areas, but the truth is, his love for us motivates a changed life, the whole life. And I got to show you this, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, so when Jesus had finished speaking, Jesus had just asked Peter to use his boat so he could float out a little bit so he could teach the multitudes. So right after he finished teaching, he said to Simon Peter, Now go out where it's deep and let down your nets to catch some fish. Well, Master Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, have you ever done that to God? I sure have. I don't want to pray for them, but if you say so. He says, but if you say so, I'll go let my nets down again, knowing that nothing's going to happen, but I'll do what you told me to do. Verse 6, and this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. So now watch this. So when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man. What? See, we've been told that we've got to somehow earn our way to this Jesus, and we got to figure out how we can grovel before. He said, well, let's keep the story going. Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a sinful man. Verse 9, for he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others that were with him. So what motivated, and by the way, from that day forward, Peter changed. Now, he did have his issues in life, as we all know, but the bottom line is, from that day forth, in fact, Jesus, after that, said, look, man, you think you're fishing now. You're fixing to fish for men. But what I want you to understand and see here, it is not judgment that motivates people to Jesus. It's love. And it's his love, not your love for them. It's his love for them. And he was so overwhelmed with the fact that, look, it's not just fish here we're talking about. I'm sure Peter had bills as well. And I'm sure his entire, you know, his family and everything. So here he sees this monstrous wealth where God has provided for him without him having changed anything in his life. And he was like, it made him realize the fact that he needed to change and the ugly that was in him. It is God's goodness that leads us to metanoia. Metanoia meaning repentance is what they put in the word, which means change of mind. It is his kindness and his goodness and his love, which is all that, that motivates him into that. So Peter was changed forever, not by judgment, but by love. Now, I'm fixing to walk into this thing, and we're going to connect the dots, because what happens is we'll understand Jesus loves me, and yes, God's for me, but we don't connect the dots. When we were in this campaign when Gay was in office, they had posted one day, we want to connect the dots, and what they did was they just posted all these events in basically chronological order so that you could connect it, because, you know, one person saying this and this person saying that and this person saying that. So what I'm wanting to help you with today, I want to connect the dots to this thing called love. 2 Corinthians, this is the NIV. For Christ's love compels us. Watch. Because we are convinced that one died for all, that's justification, and therefore all die. So Christ's love compels us to sanctification. Here it is in the Passion Translation, yes. For it's Christ's love for us that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. Listen, his love will not motivate you if you don't think that he died for absolutely everyone. Does that mean everyone? That doesn't mean everyone's going to choose him, but it does mean that he died once for everybody. And it's going to be the love that he gives in us that is going to allow folks to see that. Now, let me stay on point here. Because we are absolutely convinced that he's given his life for all of us. This means all died with him, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. Self-absorption is an evil thing that happens to us, and that's not just an arrogance. That is the fact that when we are self-absorbed with how horrible we are, we will never get outside of the fact of how much Christ loves us, because we base everything on our ability to love Him rather than for His love that happens to us. That's the way that love is. So, verse 15, so that those who should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him, the one who died for us and now lives again. Verse 16, so then from now on, today, May the 19th, is it? Of 2019. So from today, from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearances, for that's how we once viewed Jesus. But no longer do we see Him with limited human insight. Do you see what the change is? The change that happens is me is that Jesus' love compels me, not my love for Him. And it compels me so much that it allows me to not evaluate you as I, as a person, want to evaluate you, but I evaluate you through His love in His eyes. Man, everybody gets quiet because that's hard. I get it, but it's not about me. So, for that's how we once viewed no one. Okay, I said that. So, you've heard me. I'm not going to tell the illustration again. You all know the illustration. I've told you about the woman that had the mean husband, right? And he finally got out of the picture, and she ended up marrying this guy that absolutely loved her. What motivated her to serve him? Whose love? His love for her, not her love for him. Do you get it? It was the fact she was done with man. I ain't messing with no man. I'm sick of man. I got this list of this other man. I ain't having. But what happened was he kept pursuing her, and he kept chasing her, and he kept showing his love for her. To finally, not, she gave in, still waiting for the other shoe to drop, if you will. But then what happened? She began to realize how much he honestly and sincerely loved her. Therefore, it motivated her to serve him. You will never serve Jesus, y'all. Come on now. You won't ever serve him if you've got this idea that you've got to do something. You will only serve him from the relationship and the love that he deeply loves you for. So again, let's connect the dots right here. Here we're going to start the connection. Right here. Dear friends, John, right? First John, let me say this just so you know. When you read some of the historical stuff, not the Bible stuff, but historical stuff, there's a story about this guy goes up to John because this first letter of John that he wrote is just saturated with God's love. And the guy was just basically told him, dude, you're preaching about God's love too much. And the story goes that John looked at him and said, well, that's all there is to preach. This is 1 John. So again, 1 John meaning the first letter that he wrote of the three that he's got there. And he also wrote John, whatever. I want to go into the theological thing. Dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to straighten our lives out. That's not what it says, does it? We certainly ought to love each other. Because no one has ever seen God, but we love each other. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him, justification, and He is in us, sanctification. Thank you very much. Big words, don't we love it? Y'all just need to start talking big to other people. They'll think you're smart. Well, you know what? Jesus justified our life so that we could live sanctified. People look at you like, what about homogenized and pasteurized? So God's given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him, justification, and He in us, sanctification. Verse 14, watch this. Furthermore, in other words, also with that, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Keep rolling there, brother or sister, whoever's on it. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love because theos, esti, agape. Because God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Theos, the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One word, theos. Three in one, theos. I share that because I want you to see something very clearly so that you understand that God is love. God doesn't just love us people, human beings. We love sometimes. We love and we do our best to love, and then something will get us sidetracked, so we don't want to love for a little bit, you know. And the best thing is, man, when I'm asleep, I'm really good. Right? Show this next thing here. Watch this. Esti is the third person singular. Get it? God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is love. The singular word of that is emi, which is where, this is where Jesus said all of these things in Scripture about himself. I am emi. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am the Son of God. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and I am the true vine. It is, again, it's the identical word, singular, but the esti word is third person. So what I'm trying to help you with and establish for you today is that God is love. It is who he is. And then the word agape, we all know the word agape. He didn't say phileo. Love. He didn't say eros love. He said agape. That is that crazy love that God has. It's agape. So God is love. I'm to pursue, but God is love. So you get that, right? There's no way to weasel around that, because we don't want to weasel around the truth. The truth is, it is who he is. All right. Because, what does it say? Theos, esti, agape is. So, now, where am I at here? So with that understanding, here's what I know. So now that it's clear that God doesn't simply love us, that he is love. So watch this. The word love then, the word love and Jesus are interchangeable and identical. Is that fair? I'm not making stuff up here. If God is love, Jesus is God, Holy Spirit is God, God Father is God. If God is love, then Jesus is love, right? So that means that this is interchangeable and identical. Now, here's what I want to help you with, connecting the dots. And I'm going to be done so early today, y'all are going to be thrilled to get to go to Jack in the Box with nobody there. How well we know the Scripture and how well we fail in it. And before I go to it, I just want to explain that. We all know, well, most of us know what the love chapter is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's got all these love instructions for us, right? And we miserably fail. Well, I say we. I miserably fail in lots of these areas during my awake time. Here it is. You tell me. Love is patient. Love is kind. Have you ever been impatient? Have you ever been unkind? Well, I just blew that one right out of the water. I mean, I've even incorporated both at the same time to that guy who cut me off in traffic. I was not only impatient, I was unkind. Oh, he didn't know it, but I was unkind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Wow. You ever been jealous? Let's stay right there on point. I want to make you feel as bad as I possibly can. Have you ever bragged? Which incorporates pride in that. Have you ever been rude to anybody? That's why we don't like this chapter. Love doesn't demand its own way. You mean I... it's not. Look how bad this gets. It's not irritable. My daughter, when Leah was still alive, true story, you can ask my wife, Gay carried in her purse crackers. Because when my little Leah, when she got hungry, she was a bear. We're beyond irritable. So it's almost like you have a pet or something. So she'd get a little irritable and Gay, here comes the crackers out. And she'd eat a cracker. She's like that Snickers commercial. You know what I'm saying? She would have been perfect for the Snickers commercial, sincerely. Yeah. So love's not irritable. Love doesn't keep records of wrong, of being wrong. There's a difference. Just keeping a record of wrong, but love doesn't keep a record of being wronged. I'm so terrible. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up on anybody or anything. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, and love endures in every single circumstance. Ladies and gentlemen, I get an F on this test. I do. Oh, I could maybe raise my grade they'll give me a little special something to do, you know. I had that happen to me when I was in school. It's like, oh, you need to do something for your extra credit. Well, okay, what's that? So you get what I'm saying. What a miserable failure I am until I understand that Jesus is love. Look at the scripture. Same scripture. Jesus is patient and kind. Do you hear that? Those of us who feel like we don't line up with something with Him, I've struggled for years with it. Jesus is patient and He's kind. When you start believing this, that's when this scripture will be worked out of you with other people. But until you believe this, that will never happen. Jesus is patient. Jesus is not jealous. He's not boastful. He's not proud. And He's certainly not rude. People will be rude to you that say they know Jesus. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus is love. He's not irritable. Thank you, Jesus. He keeps no record of being wronged. The King of Kings, who has every right more than absolutely anybody on earth who was done wrong, the perfect and sinless one. Wow. But he did that for me. He doesn't rejoice about injustice, but He rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Jesus never gives up. He talked about somebody with 8.5 years. Gah! Jesus never gives up. I can show you in Scripture where He's, you know, it's like, man, Jesus, come quickly. And I can show in Scripture where He says, I don't want to come yet because I want to make sure everybody gets a shot at this. That's how much He loves. He'll never give up. I don't care if your parents, your friends, or what gave up on you. Man, when I was a toot back in the day, my schoolmates gave up on me. At that time, I so was receiving this love of Jesus, it really didn't hurt my feelings. In fact, even looking back, I get it. I was not a good person. I mean, I got kicked out a couple times from school, college, seminary, by the way. But they all gave up on me. Everybody gave up on me. My Mom tried to tell my wife not to marry me. That's the truth too. She pulled her aside when I took her to introduce her to her, and she wanted to talk to her, and I'm like, whatever, I want to go back there. Mom's like, no. So a real short conversation, thank God. And so I'm driving back to school, and I asked Gavin, like, what was that all about? Well, your mom wanted to tell me about you, and I just told her, I just don't want to know. How crazy is that? By the way, just an insert thought here. You can't marry, what's the word I'm looking for? You can't marry potential. You get it. So it wasn't something Gay saw in me that was possible. She saw in me where God had me at the time. Oh, I was raw at the time. In fact, the first time I ever took her out, I had to borrow a car because all I had was a motorcycle. And so I borrowed this car, and it's not my car, so I'm kind of freaking out. She's sitting polishing that door handle on the other side because you don't have a clue. Everybody's told her to stay away from me. For some reason, she didn't. And I hit a stupid pothole, David, and the first word out of my mouth was poop, but it wasn't that. You get what I'm saying? So I went, bruh! So then she's closer to that door handle. I thought, oh, God, you know, then it's like, I'm sorry, you know, whatever. But this wasn't potential. She saw the Jesus in me as raw as it was. So I just say all that to, I just want to give you an understanding. Don't a guy or a gal says, oh, you know what, I'll quit drinking when we get married. If they won't quit drinking now, they ain't going to quit when you get married. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm just meddling now. I just went from preaching to meddling, but I don't care. Let God do the choosing. Ewens. All right, let me stay right here. He never gives up. I could stay there all day. Jesus never gives up. He never loses faith. He's always hopeful, and he endures through all of the stupid stuff that I do. When I believe this, then I'll be able to walk out this, where the word love is inserted. Do you understand? Love is patient and kind. Because Jesus is patient and kind with me, I can be patient and kind with it until I honestly believe that he over the top loves me like that. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, I'm just about done here, folks. When, in fact, I have a look. It says conclusion. When you know how deeply loved you are, you will live a sanctified, changed life. And here's the why. I want to tell you why. Because you will be fully satisfied by the love of God. Right. Nothing else will matter. I love my wife dearly. But if she was out of the picture, she died or left, whatever, do you hear me? I want to be fully satisfied with God. And when I walk in the full satisfaction of knowing how crazy he loves me, then that motivates me to serve him. And to serve him, it's all about loving and serving others. Well, what about we got to stop? Look, you will, in a natural process, you'll stop being a fool. Being ugly and deep sin. When you understand how much you want to serve him out of a love relationship, it's really the truth. And this is the problem, if you will, in our life right now, in our country, our culture. Hatred has nothing to do with Jesus. And you can call whatever word you want to call hate. You know what I'm saying? Well, they're wrong. Whatever. You just pick your poison. The truth is, when I am fully satisfied with the depth of the love that he has for me, even in those areas, I can love other people. The problem is the enemy convinces us that if we love somebody that's in the midst of some turmoil, then therefore we're giving them justification to keep doing what they're doing. That is silly. I don't know how many times I've said, I'll love you all the way to hell, but I ain't going with you. You get it. But that really is the truth. I really can love like that. By the way, that really will make the Pharisees and the scribes really mad. But that's okay. because I don't find my value in the scribes and the Pharisees, and I don't find my value in anything other than being fully satisfied by the love that he has for me, motivates me in that love relationship, not to serve him because the Bible says so, but to serve him because he loves me so. So, again, when you know how deeply loved you are, you will live a sanctified life. Why? Because you'll be fully satisfied. Religious people try to do things to please God rather than grow spiritually by resting in God's love for them. Rest in his love. You won't be so frank. Rest in his love. Ephesians 1 talks about he's high above heaven. He's up in heaven sitting on the throne, and everything's below his feet. All principalities and powers and rulers are all below his feet, man. But if you go to chapter 2 with me in Ephesians, then it says what? It says, and we are seated with Christ. Amen. We're seated. So that means everything's under our feet too. We just happen to be in his lap. It's really powerful stuff when you get it. So the scribes and the Pharisees, watch this. This is so sad to me. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't know God's love for them. And let me just read it the way I wrote it. They didn't know God's love for them and were trying to please God by killing his son. How can you go there? That is crazy. But they just didn't get it. So we'll never change by trying to modify our behavior, or we'll never change someone else by trying to get them to modify their behavior. You know, the whole abortion issue is this hot topic, and so you've got Christians, and I put it in quotes because they go out and they picket the place, and so the abortion doctor goes from doing 50 abortions to 2 abortions, and we mark it off as a victory. Stop! How about we let the love of God that he's given us flow through us so much that we love the abortion doctor, that instead of modification of behavior, life change occurs? And then he just stops, not out of demand, but out of love. That's just the truth. So you can, I'm going to read this just like I wrote it. It's like I wrote a little book here. You can put a smile on your face and still have an anger issue in your heart. And you will never go, and it will never go away until you believe he loves you completely. It's his love for you that will cause you to live a sanctified life, loving others the way you're supposed to, just like he loves you. And then I wrote this, and I wanted you to read this one. We'll never love others like this love chapter instructs us until we believe he is love, and that this chapter speaks as much of his love for us as it does of our implementation of it to love others. Until you grab that, I'm telling you, life will be miserable. And I close with this one last scripture just to make the proven point more proven. John chapter 15, Jesus said it. You didn't pick me. You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. Stop being arrogant. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you, watch, to go and produce lasting sanctification, fruit. Galatians chapter 5, all the fruits are there. We'll get there someday. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. You want a command? Here it is. Jesus gave it. Love each other. So seemingly so simple, yet it's so difficult. But I promise you, when you grasp his love, it's his love that compels us to stop viewing other people the way we view them and to love them. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm done.
Would you put back up that first slide about justification and sanctification and glorification? Yeah, thank you. See, I want to be clear that we're not saying that sin is condoned by God's love. Did you say that?
No, heavens no.
Okay. But I want to be clear about it. Because here's what happens. It's Corinthians, 15:56 that says that. Thank you. I didn't bring my Bible up. I just brought my phone. This is what it says. For sin is the sting that results in death. and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin. Most people just read death. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ, which is justification, me in Christ. And here's the reason it says that the law gives sin its power. Anybody ever have a parent who just told them everything they were doing wrong all the time? And after a while, you realize, I cannot please this parent. Why even try? Right? Because if justification is me taking a list of what's going to get me to heaven, all I'm doing is giving sin power, because you're bypassing God and the fact that you need Jesus Christ. And people want me to justify sin. Stand with me. People want me to justify sin by what I do wrong or by what you do wrong. That is not somebody who wants justification through Jesus. And I'm never going to have justification through the law, because the law can always give somebody an escape. You with me on that? That's why it's so important that you understand justification can only be found through Jesus Christ. And when you come in line with him, it is that love relationship. Because here's the thing that I told Steve's mom. I knew he wasn't perfect, but I knew I wasn't perfect. And when she tried to tell me everything, well, you know, he's done this. I said, really, I don't want to hear it, because if I read the Bible right, when you come to him, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Why do I want to know those things about Steve? Why shouldn't I want to know the things about why he's trying and he's reading the word and he's spending this time in prayer? Shouldn't that be the thing that I'm watering? So I just want you to understand, and somebody this week just told me how, you know, I don't think I've ever heard it that way. Guys, grace is not an excuse to sin, because grace is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason that you don't have to sin. He's the power not to sin. And when my parents gave me the list of what to do, it wasn't because my mom thought I was going to hell. It was because my mom knew that is not going to produce life in your life, and you're either too stubborn or too immature to see it, but I love you enough, I'm going to keep telling you. I'll risk you hating me so that you'll be saved from something that could hurt you. Is this making sense to everybody? So that's the thing. We want to follow the principles, yes, of God and his teaching. It's like Steve said, everybody changed when they were touched by him. But I wasn't changed because somebody gave me a list and said, if you don't live up to that, you're going to hell. Oh, they tried. But if that's how I'm justified, then I'll justify myself by your sin or someone else's and not going through Jesus Christ. He is the power to overcome sin, because I love him and because he loves me and because I don't run from him. I hid from my parents like Adam and Eve hid from God, because I was afraid of rejection. But I have learned with him, get it over with quicker. Just, God, here it is. I had to take a test to learn some things online in Austin. I had to take this course. And the one thing even the law of Texas, but it's of the United States too, it says when you do something wrong, rectify it as soon as you can. That's the law. If you do something wrong, and the teaching, the course said, you will do things wrong. But when you do something wrong, rectify it as fast as you can, because there'll be less damage. I was like, dude, somebody needs to put a chapter and a verse on that one. And that's how I feel about it. I want you to stand with me. And here's a prayer that I want to pray. And I'm going to put it in your heart. If it's something in your life too. If we realize we just tried to fix people by the list instead of them going to Jesus. The thing that changed my heart was not my mom telling me what was right and what was wrong, The thing that changed my heart is when I heard her praying for me and crying. True. And I just slid in that room beside her on that couch, and she put her arm around me and just said, "Gay, I don't want you to miss out on what God has for your life." And I can justify what I'm doing. Oh, haven't you seen people take the word to justify? Yeah. Where's my justification come from? Where's my sanctification? Yes. Where would the glorification be if it was because I'm so good? Dear Lord, I tell them all. Get me off the pedestal as quick as you can, because all you're going to do is make me fall. Because he doesn't want me to be Jesus. He wants to be Jesus. Amen. And here's the prayer I want you to help me pray. Bring them home. I find myself praying that prayer over it. God, just bring them home. Bring them home. Because my home is in him. He's preparing a home for me in heaven. And he says, if I go away, I'm going to come back. And I want to be ready for him, not because there's a list, but because I'm his girl, I'm his bride. I want people to come home. Just come home. Just come home. Some of you, that's hitting you in different ways. But you know that it's the Holy Spirit. And the word is conviction. People don't like it. Conviction is not a jail sentence. Conviction is the difference between what's true and what's not. He wants you to know the difference. Ready to love on him now as a group? While you're standing there, why don't you just join hands with somebody next to you? You don't have to come across the aisle, but just join hands with somebody next to you. Father, this morning, we are just a group of people who love you, who are seeking after you, God. Lord, we don't want to excuse the things in our life, God, that may be keeping us from knowing you in deeper ways or attaining the places you have for us. God, I'm asking you to forgive me right now if there are places where I've tried to do things because I thought I could bypass you. I don't want to bypass you. I want you to help me overcome the weaknesses. Help me overcome my immaturity. Help me overcome this fleshly mind that thinks it knows more than you. And forgive me, God, and help me. God, help me. And help me to lead other people to the truth as well, God, that there won't be any heartache, but they'll come home. We call the lost home today, God, those that have known your love and tasted it. God, if we got in the way, we repent. God, I'm calling them home. Send out your love today, God, and let us be justified through you. And let you be found in me, so that I can be sanctified. And I just thank you for that, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Give us hope. And they all said, amen. Amen. God bless you.